So here we are, everyone, May 11th. It's Mother's Day in the United States, but it's Mother's Day, or should be Mother's Day, every day of the year all over the world, because we pray and love our Blessed Mother Earth, and we give thanks to our Blessed Mother, Mother Mary, for her love and support, and all of the mothers that have come before us, that we were lifted and nurtured, even when we didn't care to lift and nurture ourselves. And we give thanks, and we give thanks to God for that side of the Creator's personality and being, that the Creator and the awesome source of this universe is also a lover and nurturer of our soul and presents himself, herself to us in so many, many, many loving ways. We're going. All right, now we're on the Q&A mode, and we will open our conference for comments. If you would like to sign in, it's star 6, and then you press 1 to join on our board, and I will open your line. That's basically the way it works. And while I'm waiting for anyone to come on, I just want to take this one moment to welcome any of our new attendees to the blessing. Everyone is welcome, always. We impose no limiting or restrictive beliefs on you whatsoever, only that you believe in love and that life can be better, and that together we can create a field of energy that attracts the blessings of God for the betterment of this world. All religions are welcome, all beliefs, all persons, all ages. You don't even have to come with a positive attitude. Just don't spray a negative attitude on other people, but you can come in whatever condition you're in. Remember, Yeshua walked beside the crowds of people, some of them hungry, starving, near death, and he accepted them all. Even those who didn't believe in him, he accepted them. He gave his blessings to them, because the blessings of God were given freely from the beginning of time and have always been given freely. The only qualifying factor is us simply showing up to receive. And that's really what I would like to talk about today for our message on the call. But before we get to that, which I kind of like to put toward the end of the call so that more people are here, I'd like to cover the protocol of the blessing for those who are new. And it just simply involves being, showing up, being, and receiving. You sit in a chair comfortably. No special position required except that you don't cross your arms or your legs or any other body parts, so that the energy you connect with the earth and from God and the Holy Spirit can flow in a straight line, two straight parallel lines through your body into the earth and back up. Now, these lines of energy will circle and cross in your heart, but let it be the energy that does that, not one of your body parts that you accidentally forget and cross. So don't be in a yoga position. Don't sit with your legs crossed. Just be comfortable and relaxed. The energy will flow according to your prayer and along with your prayer. I will ask you to pray in any way you see fit, according to the way you pray, for whatever you wish to pray, for about the 3 minutes that the energy is flowing. Prior to that, I will say an invocation to Yeshua. The blessing givers and I will literally become the antennae through which the energy travels. We are not the ones giving the energy. The energy comes from God the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It connects with our beautiful earth, creating a very lively magnetic field around you, and then flows back through you, and then back to the earth again, and back through you, and back and forth for a number of passes for the 3 minutes. After that, we just want you to go lie down. If you don't have a place to lie down, then just recline even more comfortably in your chair. The important thing is to relax and don't think. Don't even pray during this time. Your prayer is complete. God has heard you, and God knows what you need and want anyway. This is your time to receive, assimilate, and be nourished. Be lifted, be healed, be nourished, be filled, and that's all you do. Then, if you fall asleep, that's fine. I would suggest that before the blessing, though, you have a glass of water. A dehydrated body does not conduct energy as well as a hydrated body. All energy from the highest frequencies to electricity, you may have learned, actually conducts energy more powerfully through water. This is why you do not want to drop a hairdryer into a bathtub. It will conduct the electricity right out of that hairdryer into the water. So be hydrated, and then I would suggest again, between the blessing and your resting stage, that you have a glass of water or a sip of water, and then after your assimilation phase, you have more water. It just assists in all the blessings that have been given to you to be taken into the body. Bear in mind that water is our most common substance for all forms of life. From water we emerged. It's the one common substance all forms of life share, whether they're cold-blooded, warm-blooded animals, plants, or fungus. They all share water. We even have little microbes in the air, and they would die if we had zero humidity in our air. So water is the common denominator for the connection of all forms of life. And as we hydrate our body, we make ourselves more available to the conductions of energy that all the other forms of life may bring to us. So this is very, very important. And then just rest. Rest and receive. If you fall asleep, that's fine. Wake up, get on with your day, and notice in the next hours or the next week or even days after that, little subtle things that are different. And when you notice, give thanks. Nothing solidifies a blessing more than an acknowledgement. Just a simple, I got it. Oh, that's different. Isn't that interesting? You know, this wasn't happening last week. Thank you. Just little things like that that help to build the connection. Notice how people may be treating you differently, and they may be receiving your blessing. Actually, the blessing doesn't stop with you because it actually extends to a larger field around your body that connects with a larger field around the body of other people. And through that, there is a contagion of blessings. We do have some callers on the line, and I think I pretty much completed our updated explanation that I really need to give every so often because we do have new people on the call. So we have someone from area code. Well, I don't actually have an area code here. It looks like maybe 406.
Hi, this is Joanna. I'm in Montana. And
oh, hi, Joanna.
Hi, I so appreciate what you give to all of us. And I'm going to cry. I'm calling now because I've had kind of a, well, I had a cat named Rama, a beautiful cat. When I got it, his eyes just pierced into my soul with recognition of a great soul who was with me, and I had to put him to sleep because he was sick. And then that same day I got rear-ended as I was driving my car a few hours later, so my health is a little questionable. I've had a wonderful life, and I cannot complain, but I just thought I'd put that out there and see if there's anything that you could say about that.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know I love cats. I my companion animal for receiving the messages of Yeshua was my cat Gunner. And it was very sad when I lost him as well. They grow so close to us. And actually, an interesting thing about cats, and this is not in any way to diminish the power or the value or the love of other animals, but they have been among the most acknowledged of all the animals for their soul connection to us. The ancient Egyptians actually embalmed their body because they wanted to make sure that their soul would have a way to stay connected, because they so valued the soul connection. And there are many, well, I don't know if there are many, but certainly a few different sects of Buddhism that considered the cat to be a link between the Buddha and the Bodhisattva. And it was considered that a Bodhisattva would have to reincarnate as a cat in order to become a Buddha, to walk on that bridge. So I don't know if any of these beliefs are solid or solidly founded, but what they do symbolize for me is that the soul of a cat is probably far more significant in our connection with them than their physical presence, which we get so much pleasure of from our dogs. Our dogs we enjoy playing with, cuddling, taking walks with, throwing balls to. We enjoy the physical companionship with our dogs. And I really have noticed a significant difference that we are so spiritually connected to our cats. And I just wanted to share the fact that since Gunner left, I have never not been connected with that soul. He has been like a little angel. It's like he just ascended to the realm of angels. So look for your companion in the realm of spirit, because I have a feeling he has not gone, only his body needed relief and rest. And I don't know that I can speak to the rare ending, but that has happened to me several times. And each time, it's come as a message to be more alert and more attentive to those forces and forms around me that I just leave to their own, their own business. It's like I get so busy with my life, I just need other people to take care of their life as well. And I'm not quite as attentive. Every time it's come as a message to me to just be a little bit more attentive to the needs of others around me. And when I do that, all of the painful energy goes away.
Thank you. That touches my heart. Thank you very, very
much. I hope that helps. And it may not be quite the same to you, but we all learn very similar lessons, and maybe it will have something that's meaningful for you.
Well, yes, it does mean something to me, and also the part about the cat, because I felt such that it was a Bodhisattva cat. It was just totally amazing, and it came to me at a time when that was just what I needed, and I do believe that it is still around in spirit form. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. You're so welcome, and have a wonderful blessing today. We have a caller from area code 512. Hi, you're
Hi.
On.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, this is my third blessing call, and I'm reading Love Without End right now, and I'm so amazed by it and so much appreciation of it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carol, and I'm so glad that you just went straight from the book to the blessing, because the blessings will actually help you to absorb the information of the book on so many other levels.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me. I'm not quite sure what words to use, but I wanted to ask about my dad, who is dealing with cancer, and
he just turned 77 on May 5th. And this year just become much more severe, and he's having a lot of trouble, you know, even just walking around. And sometimes he's had some falls and had trouble getting up sometimes, and it's also been very difficult for my mom.
Oh, sure.
And they he's got a lot of faith in the conventional medicine that's the route they've been going, and I'm sorry, I'll try to make this quicker, but it's kind of difficult to see because it seems like that route is making it worse, but it's what their faith, you know, they have faith in that, and they have a very traditional Christian view, which seems to place a lot of the power outside of themselves. And but anyway, what I'm asking for is a blessing for them.
Oh, you will certainly have it. Carol, and I do have some responses that may help you deal with this just a little better. Do you mind if I ask what your dad's name is?
His name is Bill.
Okay, Bill. We will remember Bill in our blessing and put a special focus on him. And I have his name now on my desk, and I'll take it, I'll put it in my pocket for the blessing, okay? But there's a couple more things I do want to say. And that is that faith is not limited to just what we believe in. Sometimes the fact that we have faith in anything can translate into a greater faith that will actually make us whole. It's really the act of faith that makes us whole. And I tend to agree with you that I have some great intrepidations about some of the conventional treatments for cancer. I know they can be terribly taxing upon the body. But when you have faith, that faith will supersede that. I have an example with my sister, who was diagnosed with fourth stage lymphoma when she was 62. And she has been through radiation many times and chemo many times, going into, just almost no conditions, remission and no conditions whatsoever, and that it will return. It's gone in cycles. She's still living and kicking with us at 82. She had 2 weeks to live when she started. She's 82 now. What made her whole was her faith. That's what got her through all the cancer treatments, which I disagreed with many times in many ways. But it was her faith that got her through it. And in addition to that, she took many holistic remedies that helped to reconstruct her body and helped to, let's say, get rid of the poisons that are part of the traditional treatments. And in that regard, I want to direct you to something that we provide for the world. And actually, many people have taken this and completely gotten through their challenge with cancer. We can't technically say it cures anything, but it does assist in the body restoring its wholeness and healing itself. And it's called Miracle Solution. Go to miraclesolution.org and read everything that's there. And call our office if you're interested, and we can help you get that. Because there are many people that have had miracle, either reversals or they've had the miraculous strength to survive the traditional treatments that they believe in. And it is totally compatible with whatever route a person chooses to go. So I do make that recommendation, and I hold your father in the blessings. And may all of you jot down notes on this, because you never know when you may know somebody who needs to know this. So thanks for allowing us to be of service, Carol.
Oh, thank you so much, Glenda.
And especially on Mother's Day, may your mother be comforted.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye. If there's anybody else who wants to come on, I'm here, and we're probably able to take maybe one more call. But I just want to talk about arriving, being here, and receiving. This is actually the miracle. You may not realize it, but it is. Everything in this universe has already been provided. Pardon me. Including a little bit of lemonade for me to drink right now. Everything in this wonderful universe has already been given. We just have to knock and let the door be opened, seek and find, ask and receive. I think in a way, it's a little bit arrogant that we go through our manifesting rituals thinking that we're actually the one manifesting anything. Let's say we're trying to manifest a new car or more income. Let's face it, that new car is already out there. The money is circulating. There's vast amounts of money on this planet. It's just not arriving in your life. And using the word manifesting implies that somehow we're creating it, when really, we're not. We're not. We're not creating it at all. It's been created, either by God or by human forces that have already been set in motion, and that car has been manufactured, and it might have even been driven by one person before us. It's out there. What we have to do is to show up, arrive, and receive. That's a different flow. And you know the reason we don't do that is we don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to say, God, I'm open. My cup is empty. Oh, and we also don't like to empty our cup when we're feeling a little bit, well, let's say we've gotten to where we believe in scarcity more than we believe in abundance. We want to keep that last penny in our pocket. We want to keep that last loaf of bread in the freezer. We want to keep that last bit of whatever in the box in the garage. We don't want to give that to Goodwill. We believe in scarcity. You know, I never know when I may need that inflatable tire. I don't know when I might need that last ink cartridge. Even though you've given away the computer. Or the computer broke 2 years ago. I mean, the printer the ink cartridge belonged to played out 2 years ago. You threw it away, but you're keeping the spare ink cartridges just in case someday you might get another similar type of printer that could use that ink cartridge. You don't think about how you could give that to Goodwill and it might supply somebody who's got that type of printer and open the cup. All you have to do is release. Empty the cup and open the cup. Ask. You know what? We don't like to ask. We like to tell. The biggest thing wrong with affirmations is this. Actually, I do believe in affirmations if they're done right. But most people don't. Most people do not affirm right. They affirm on top of a prior belief that they don't have something. I affirm that I have good health, and I have to because I've been so weak lately. I'll affirm this. I will affirm out of my weakness that I have strength. And you know what? That affirmness carries a command to it. It doesn't carry a soft, loving reception to it. What about affirming everything about yourself and affirming that it is correct? And if I'm weak, I'm only weak so that the cup can be emptied and filled again with something more wonderful. In other words, take the formula and reverse it. Take your weakness. Take whatever is empty and look at it as something positive. Oh, Lord, you have beautifully emptied my cup. Let me finish emptying it for you, that I may be an open vessel to receive the bounties of your love, the bounties of your blessing, the bounties of your abundance. What new do you have in store for me that I may look forward to? You see, we resist the empty cup. We resist the depletion as if it were something negative. You know, there's an importance to emptying the cup, and that is so it can be filled with something better. Now, when we affirm with that right state of mind, it really does work. So affirmations can work. The problem is, most of the time, we affirm like a screaming child. I have to have that piece of candy, and don't you dare deprive me of that piece of candy. I command that piece of candy. I claim that piece of candy. That's how we do our affirmations. And my friends, it doesn't work. What happens is that we push. You know, we go up to a door and we try to push and it doesn't open. And it's amazing how many times a door can say pull and we don't even see it because we're trying to push through it. Pardon me. We've been having really, really abundant allergies here, and I'm going to try to use my own wisdom on this, and just know that somewhere in that abundance is a blessing. Surely something is being pollinated that will come to fruit in another season. And in the meantime, it gives me an opportunity to be more hydrated. That's the one thing that helps it. So, you see, in everything there can be a positive cycle of life. And when we view it that way, when we make ourselves available to everything being a positive cycle of life, we move through it without resistance. And we set ourselves up for infilling and replenishment in the next order of creation. And that's what I mean by being available to receive. All of life moves in cycles, and we all are part of those cycles of life, and we can shorten the ones that annoy us. And that's a fair thing to say, because annoyance is just a human response, and just because we're annoyed doesn't mean we're saying it's negative. You know, I'm annoyed by the allergies, but if I said they were negative, I would actually be going against the order of nature, because look at what causes them. What causes them is the pollination of life. And to say all of this is negative, to resist it, is us putting thoughts out there that the pollination of life is a negative thing. It's not. It just annoys me terribly, and so I drink a lot. And maybe that's God's way of saying, Glenda, drink more water. You need it right now. And see, we find our place in the order of things by doing that. So we need to arrive. You know what? When things annoy us, and they frequently do, not just pollen, but shortages or too much noise or too much confusion or things happening in the world that we view as destructive, it just annoys us. And you know what we do is we put up a strong arm against that annoyance, and we say, go away. Stop that right now. I don't want that. Get away from me. What we do is we push things away, and then we forget to reverse that flow. We forget to extend a welcome arm and say, come hither, come forth. Come forth all these things that are good, that I may enjoy and participate in them. And we forget to arrive. What we do is, see, we backed away. So we're not arriving. We're not receiving. We're not calling forth. And that's an important thing to remember, because God loves all of life. God loves us, each one of us individually and uniquely. But God also loves the sparrows and the ragweed and the oak trees that are pollinating and the bees that need pollen and the milkweed that causes the butterflies to migrate. This is all part of life. And so we stop arriving when life is not meeting our needs exactly the way we think we want it. And I guess that's just human nature. A little bit of it, we can chalk up to that and say, okay, that's where I am right now. I'm sorry. I will never be compatible with ragweed. But I can bless it, and then I can move into, I can form my own protective shielding so that I can receive in my own way, in my own time and place, and that's acceptable. But don't forget to do that. Don't forget to make yourself acceptable. And don't forget to bless the cycles of life that we all move through. And let's face it, we all move through the cycles of age. We're all babies once, little kids, big kids, adolescents, young adults struggling to find their place in the world, having hopes and also taking issue with things that our parents believe in and we think should be different. It's just natural. It's part of life's nature. Then you grow up, you have your own kids, and you go through the cycle again. We move into, well, where I am right now is elder non-retirement. I don't look forward to the day when I ever want to retire, but life is making me approach life a little differently and do things a little differently than I did before. I can't carry the big buckets of sand I used to carry or manage a vineyard like I could 40 years ago. But life is still wonderful, and it gets more wonderful when I don't resist where I am. If I regret that I can't cultivate a vineyard like I did 40 years ago, then I'm sad. If I look at the fact that, okay, I can have a couple of grapevines, I can enjoy the memories, I can have a few grapes, and I can have someone help me with them, then life is wonderful. In other words, when we accept life on its terms, where we are, we can find new blessings that we didn't have before. And for many of us, we have mothers that are moving into the golden years. We have, some of us have mothers who've moved on past the golden years into the greater realms of eternity, like mine, such as mine. But we can still love them, we can connect with them through our hearts, and we can enjoy the fact that they are where they are and help them find the best that can be where they are. And I think one of the best gifts we can give our mothers today is to not be sad that they are where they are, but to rejoice with them, that we can be with them where they are appropriately, supportively, rejoicing, and be glad that we knew all the stages of life with them and that they loved us through them and that they knew us from the beginning, at least to the end of their life, if not to the end of ours. And then we can look at all the other secondary mothers we've had that have loved and supported us and allow them to be where they are, loving them as they are. We look at our earth in the same way. We know that our beautiful earth was virgin and pristine a million years ago. She's not now. But how beautifully she's still dealing with everything we put upon her. How gorgeous are the mountains. How abundant still are the oceans, despite all the things we pour into it. How radiant are the seacoasts. And the sun upon the leaves that have dew and new morning sun. How vibrant are the life forms that walk upon her. How loving is she. Let us be grateful that life is with us now, as it is now, richly and abundantly, serving us, connecting us, and filling us with its love, and which blessing. And with that, I would like to move into our blessing for this day. And I would call our blessing givers to join me. I will begin with a prayer to Yeshua. And I would like for all of you to connect in your relaxed pose in your chair, your feet on the ground, your hearts ready to receive and be in prayer. And this will be conducted from our chapel here in Aransas Pass, Texas, where we have anointed and celebrated the opening of our chapel on Easter Day. And it is growing in its richness and blessing with every blessing given through it. Dear Yeshua, thank you for bringing us here to this special place by the sea, that we may join earth, heaven, and the waters of the earth in a most meaningful and abundant way to share your blessings with all people and all of life. Thank you for being with each one of us today. And we ask for a special blessing for all our mothers, that they may know how much they are loved and appreciated, and for your blessed mother, for all she went through in giving, loving, and serving, and sacrificing through you, and loving all of us ever since. We thank you so much, Mother Mary, Mother Earth, Mother God, and all of our human mothers, and all of our animal mothers that ceaselessly give life. There was a little dog that came over here today, Yeshua, and she was obviously still lactating puppies. And I thought how appropriate that was on Mother's Day, and I gave her a blessing. Thank you for giving me that sign that there are mothers among us everywhere, and we so deeply love them. Thank you for healing and nurturing all of us and giving us the essence of our prayers that are offered to you from our hearts according to our most cherished desires and needs and requirements. Amen. The energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now go rest, receive, be blessed, be filled, be nurtured, be healed, and be regaled with abundance. You're very loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.